Let's go to Mark, please. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter 5 this morning. I'm going to try to do something that I don't normally do. I'm going to do the best I can by the grace of God, but I'm going to preach an entire chapter of the Bible in one service, one sermon.
Amen.
Okay, so y'all pray for me, okay? Amen. Let's stand together. I'm not going to read the whole thing right now, amen, but I'll read parts of it. Mark chapter 5, excuse me, beginning in verse 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus, amen, when he saw Jesus, praise God, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was very nigh to the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. Let me preach to you this morning. Try to, like I said, to go through this chapter a little while. I just want to preach to you a simple message entitled this: Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for our time together. Thank you for these precious people standing before me, Lord. Thank you for their desire to be in your house this morning. Lord, I love them. I'm so thankful for them, Father, my wife, my children, and Lord God, this precious flock that you've put together here. I pray now you'd help me to be a blessing. First of all, Lord God, honor you with all I say and I do, and even my thoughts, Lord, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit and work in each heart here today. Help us, Lord God, to get a grip and to be reminded, and Lord, to be returned, Lord God, maybe in our hearts and our minds to Jesus, who is indeed the answer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What we have here, of course, is Jesus coming into a country, the country of the Gadarenes, and we have an incredible story of a man who, I preached on this man many times, because this guy really, he's a monster. I mean, he is a monster of monsters. He is not someone you don't want to run into, amen, ever, whether it be in the dark or in the light. You never want to see somebody like this. And it didn't bother Jesus. He wasn't afraid of him, amen. Aren't you glad? Jesus is the answer. When you are facing your greatest fears, Jesus is the answer. And you need to make sure, you need to understand, hey, if at any time I'm up against something that I can't handle, if at any time I'm up against someone that I don't know how to overcome and is trying to overcome me, you understand, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. He was come out of the ship, and there met him a man out of the tombs, and it was like a head-on collision almost. Amen. Jesus and this man, devil-possessed man. He was filled with the devil. He was filled with, the Bible tells us, there were 2,000 swine. 2,000, I can't imagine a herd of swine that big. But there was 2,000 pigs and that were filled with the same unclean spirits that this man had in him. One person. Can you imagine? No wonder he was so miserable. His dwelling among the tombs, man had tried to fix him. Man had tried to change him. Man had tried to tie him up and chain him up. And the devil, listen to me, the devil has real physical power, folks. He really does. And he was able to break those chains and break the fetters and completely, no man could tame him. That's what the Bible says. But he was miserable. He was brokenhearted. He was alone. He was sad. He was crying, cutting himself. I believe he wanted to die, but he couldn't. I believe he wanted to commit suicide, but he couldn't. He was not allowed by these evil spirits that were in him, the devils, and he was not allowed to even kill himself. He was so possessed by these devils. There's so many of them. He saw Jesus, amen. He knew. There was a mixed emotions in this man. The Bible says he saw Jesus afar off in verse 6, and he ran and worshipped him. Now, listen, that was not the devil ran and worshipping him. That was the man himself who knew Jesus is my only answer. Amen. Jesus is my only hope. That man ran, and he had enough power and understanding to run, and he knew Jesus is the answer. He knew Jesus was the answer for the devils that were possessing him. Listen, you're not going to get worse than this man today. This man was the worst you're ever going to find. I believe we call him the maniac of Gadara, or the demoniac of Gadara. But he ran and worshipped Jesus. But notice, then the voices from within, the spirits of evil, they said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" They were rejecting Jesus. The man was trying to worship Jesus. He knew he was his only hope, but there was the devils inside him that were rejecting Jesus. They were rejecting, they were fighting against Jesus and his power, and they were trying to keep, they wanted to keep control of this man. See, they knew they were up against Jesus now. They knew they were up against the one who had, that they had no power against him. It's amazing to me, though, how they knew. Listen, they knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was all powerful. They knew they had no ability to overcome Jesus.
That's right.
Even the devil knows that, folks. We've got to get a hold of that ourselves. There's nothing in this world greater than my Jesus. There's nobody in this world greater and more powerful than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus is the answer, even for the devil-possessed man. His name was Legion. That means that the thousands, what that means, and there was thousands of devils in him. That's what he was trying to say in verse 9. But Jesus simply said, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." I'm not going to preach on this one man. Like I said, I'm trying to get through this chapter here, but I want you to, it was the word of God. It was the word of God. Jesus just spoke. And come out of the man. You understand, folks, you got to get a hold of this is Jesus.
Amen.
This is Jesus. Amen. This is the written word of God. Jesus is the living word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And that same word was manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us. We have Jesus. And Jesus is the answer. In our hearts, if you're saved this morning, amen, Jesus is in here. And he is the answer. The very Jesus Christ himself, the very same spirit that walked on that shore that morning and said, "Come out of him," is in your heart.
Right. Amen.
He's the answer.
Amen.
He's the answer. You know the story, the man that was, look what it says in verse 15, they come to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil. He had the legion, that they saw him sitting, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that amazing? I love this story for some, because I just love the power, the transforming power of my Jesus.
Yeah.
It makes me realize, hey, there's nothing too hard for my Savior. But we've got to get this in our hearts and our minds. Every one of you is going through something right now that's beyond your control. That's out of your hands. You can't control it. This man could not fix his life.
Amen.
He was a raging lunatic. Now, none of you are there yet.
Amen.
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 Thank God for that.
Amen.
But yet there's still something going on in your life that's out of your control, that you can't fix, that's making you miserable, that's hurting you, that's making you beside yourself, that's making you act and do things that you probably never would do, and you just don't know what to do. Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Jesus. This man was clothed, sitting, amen, in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, kind of like you are now.
Amen.
You're not listening to me, amen. I hope you came to listen for Jesus and his voice, amen. But you're sitting, you're clothed, praise God, and in your right mind, as far as I can tell, And it's because of Jesus.
Amen.
It's because of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus is the answer, number one, for the devil-possessed man. Look in verse 22 now. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jesus is the answer for the devil-possessed man. Jesus is also the answer, number two, for the dying daughter.
Yes,
you see, the devil-possessed man had a problem with his own self, his own body, his own spirit. He himself was the problem. But now Jairus shows up, and he's got a problem with his family. He's got a problem. Not Jairus is fine. Jairus is the father, but he's coming to Jesus with a different kind of problem. My daughter, Lord, my daughter's lying at home. My daughter is dying at home. And his broken heart, his broken, quivering lips, amen, he's coming to Jesus. And the Bible says, amen, that he besought him greatly. That means he was looking for him. He was not going to let anything or anybody stop him until he found Jesus.
Amen.
He besought him greatly. He did not rest until he found Jesus.
Amen.
Well, because he had a family member, he had a crisis at home. His family was not healthy. His family was hurting. Listen to me. Where there's a daughter and a father, there's a mother somewhere in that picture. There's a family at home who's hurting, whose daughter is dying. This little damsel, we found out later, she's only 12 years old, but she's dying. What an awful thing. What a tragedy. Jesus, folks, is the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. And we cannot stop short of finding Jesus. We cannot stop short of coming to the point where we get a hold of Jesus. The Bible says he besought him greatly. That didn't mean he found him just as soon as he started. He looked and he sought and he was seeking for Jesus, and he did not stop until he found him.
Amen.
Because he knew Jesus was the answer. I mean, you think about this poor Jairus. He was a man, the Bible tells us, he was a ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of authority. He was a man of wealth and honor and power. But he had a sick, dying daughter. And listen, that's enough to break anybody's heart. That's enough to break anybody's heart. I'm talking about you have a family member that's hurting. You have a broken family. Something's not right in your home. Listen, that's enough to break anybody.
Amen.
I tell you, it's the same answer as it is for anybody else. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus.
Amen.
His heart's broken. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with him, but there's something wrong with his family, and his heart's broken. He left his synagogue. He left his job. He did not give priority to anything or anybody. He was looking, and he did not stop until he found Jesus. Are you listening to me this morning? There was a devil-possessed man, yes, who he himself was a disaster. His life was an utter chaotic mess, and that's where we were before Jesus, amen? That's where we were before Jesus came and said, you know what, you need to get out of that, man, unclean spirit. And then we're now clothed, sitting at Jesus' feet, in our right minds, amen, for the most part. But then, here comes a family problem.
Amen.
Here comes a family problem. Okay, I got saved now. I'm clean. My heart's clean. I'm okay. But here comes a family problem now. Boy, those are almost worse than the personal problems, aren't they? When something's wrong with me, it's okay. But when something's wrong with my family, it just gets really serious then. It should. It gets to the point where it hurts even more than when it's just me. Loved ones are gone astray. Loved ones are sick, whether it be physically, but I'm talking about, you know, they're spiritually sick. They're spiritually, maybe they themselves are dying in sin. They're not saved. They're lost. They're without Christ. And listen, there's a picture here of a man named Jairus who besought Jesus greatly. Dearly beloved, listen to me. It's a good picture of prayer.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a very good picture of prayer. Where this man kept on seeking after Jesus, because he knew one thing, and he knew Jesus is the answer. He knew that he could not fix this problem. He knew he could not heal this precious little girl. He couldn't fix her.
Amen. That's right.
He couldn't fix her. But I tell you what, we have a lot of people today who give up too easy.
Yeah.
Give up too fast. It may be a year, it may be 2 years, it may be even longer. But listen, you've got to keep beseeching and seeking and looking for Jesus.
Amen.
He's the answer.
Amen.
He's the answer.
Amen.
You've got to believe that though. You've got to believe that. You've got to have the faith to believe that Jesus is the answer. He's the one that can. Listen, Jesus cares and Jesus can.
Amen.
Because look what it says. Isn't it a blessed truth? Look what it says here. I don't know. I wish sometimes maybe the Bible would tell us, but for a good reason, I think he doesn't tell us. God doesn't tell us how long he besought Jesus. But he found him, amen. He found him. And the Bible says he prayed. He said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. He says, I pray thee come, lay thy hands on her, she may be healed and she may live. Listen, you can make the application here, like I said, physical or spiritual. Whether they're dying physically, whether they're sick or they're dying spiritually, they're not saved. Either one, the answer is the same.
That's right. Amen.
The answer is the same. And look what it says in verse 24. Jesus, precious words, Jesus went with him. Amen. Jesus stopped what he was doing. Jesus went with Jairus. Jesus went. I mean, I have another message I preach about this man called walking with Jesus. Boy, Jairus got to spend the rest of that day, Brother Bruce, just walking with Jesus back to the house.
Amen.
Oh, I love it. Maybe I'll preach that another time. But he got to spend the rest of that day walking with Jesus, and he got to see what Jesus did. And because I'm going to get to that in a minute, but he got to see it firsthand. He got to walk with Jesus, got to hear him speak. He got to see him work. He got to spend time with Jesus. And there's a tremendous application there. Listen, when you are sick, when someone at home is sick and dying, you just need to get to a place where you find Jesus and you just walk with him.
Yeah.
Just walk. He does care, folks.
Amen.
And just, there's a third situation here that comes up. And Jesus is still the answer. Amen. Are you with me? He's the answer for the devil-possessed man. He's the answer for the dying daughter at home. He's the answer also for the diseased lady. It says right here, a certain woman in verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's a long time. I don't know how she survived. It's just the grace of God, right?
Amen.
12 years bleeding out like that. Boy, I don't know how she survived. But she had suffered many things in verse 26 of many physicians. She had spent all that she had. Now, I don't know how much that was, but in 12 years, it was all that she had. And was nothing bettered in verse 26, but rather grew worse. Are you listening to? Here's a woman who had a disease who spent 12 years in the wrong place.
Yeah.
12 years looking for answers in the wrong place.
Yeah.
12 years wasted.
That's right.
Wasted.
Yeah.
She didn't just look for help in the medical doctors, which I understand, that's okay, that's normal. But yet, brother, listen to me, sister, brothers and sisters, that's not the answer.
Yeah.
That Jesus is the one who has to heal that old body.
Amen.
Jesus is the one who has to heal that disease. You said, preacher, the modern medicine, God gave us modern medicine. I know that. It's not that I don't ever take a pill, but understand, in the end, that pill is worthless except God Almighty take a hold of that and make it do what it's supposed to do. Because a lot of those pills can make you worse. Amen. I'm just saying, this woman was not looking for Jesus. This woman was not looking for the answer where it was found. She was looking everywhere else the world had to offer.
Yeah.
The Bible says she suffered many things of many physicians. She suffered. She got worse.
Yeah.
Of course she got worse. She was looking in the wrong places. Listen now, don't forget, don't miss this. She was looking at the wrong people for help. I mean, she went to the people who everybody else went to. She went to the places everybody else went, but she didn't. Not only did she not get better, she suffered
more.
Yes, sir. She's suffering more. Now again, I know this is a disease of the body, but the application here is the same. Jesus is the answer. And I may not have a spiritual demon in me like that old man did before, but I may be saved now, but then I'm suffering with some type of temptation. I'm suffering with some type of addiction. I'm suffering with some type of spiritual problem. Some temptation has overcome me, and I need to be delivered from this thing. Don't go to the people of the world. Don't go to the places everybody else goes. Don't go to the psychiatrists and the shrinks. Go to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Amen. You will not find the answer anywhere else. As a matter of fact, you will suffer more.
Amen.
You'll suffer more.
Amen.
I spent Thursday night and all day Friday in the Choice Moore unit of the Texas Department of Corrections State Prison up here in Bonham. Brother Max and I. And I'll probably be talking about this today and tonight, because I can't ever go there like that and not come back different. Because I spent 8 hours plus just talking to one man after another, after another, after another, after another, about their souls and their spiritual condition, looking in their eyes. And you know why they're in there? Because they went to the wrong place and the wrong people for the help that they needed. Because they had a problem. They got mixed up with the wrong crowd. They got mixed up with the wrong actions and people and places and things. And I'm not saying that they were saved, but some of them are. Some of them are saved, dearly beloved. Listen to me. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you can forget about Jesus. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you just forget about where you got saved. Just because you're saved doesn't mean, okay, now I can go back to everything and I'm okay. Listen, that's ridiculous. There's men in there who were saved before they got arrested and incarcerated. And now, listen, they're in there and their lives are broken. Their lives are miserable. No, they're suffering.
Amen.
They're suffering many things because they went to the world's physicians for help. They went to the world's place and people for help. And now they're suffering greatly. Hey, they're not better. They call that place rehabilitation. They say prison is needed to rehabilitate. Have you ever seen anybody be rehabilitated? It doesn't happen unless they come to Christ.
Amen. Amen.
And that's why we went there. Because we know, that, listen to me, we know that prison doesn't rehab people.
That's right.
Jesus rehabs people.
Yes,
Jesus redeems people.
Amen.
Jesus reconciles people back to God where they need to be, where they should have been in the first place.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer. And boy, you know, I got to sit there and I got to talk to Caleb. I remember Caleb. And I was sitting on the right side and he was sitting right here beside me. And I don't know how old he was. He was maybe 25. And he told me he was studying different things and studying different books, and he just didn't really understand it all. And I sat there and I talked to him. Of course, I opened the Bible, and I went with some of these guys. You have to go all the way back to Adam and Eve. They don't have a clue.
Amen.
Yep. And I remember little Caleb, I say little because he was little to me, but young, his face was so, I want to say innocent, but I mean he's incarcerated, but his face was so young and tender, and his eyes were so hungry. I don't understand, he said. I don't understand at all. I don't know. I spent probably 20 minutes, probably more, just going scripture, 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 scripture. And he's just like a sponge. He's just, no, they're not all like this, but he's just like a sponge, just absorbing everything I'm saying. And you can just see, I mean, the eyes are starting to, they're starting to like light up a little bit. And the click, you know, the things are starting to click a little bit. He's starting to see, hey, this makes sense now. I remembered specifically showing him in Revelation 4:11 that all things are created by God and for His pleasure. And I said, Caleb, you know what? God created you for His pleasure. He wanted to. He takes pleasure in you, Caleb. But sin has destroyed that relationship. Sin has destroyed. God no longer takes pleasure in your life.
That's right, brother.
And he's just sitting there. I mean, he's just a little kid to me, young enough to be my son, and just a little guy. And he's just sitting there. And he's not a hardened criminal, you know, like some of them are. And I just kept asking him, you understand? He said, yeah, I do understand. Yeah, I do understand. I said, Caleb, you understand then that without Jesus, that you don't have any hope, but that you're lost, that you're dying, and you it's because of sin, and you separated you from God. And he said, yeah, I understand. And just a little kid. I mean, I can't get his face out of my... He's just one that I remember. And I said, Caleb, you know, Jesus died for you. Believe that? Yeah. Jesus, He rose again. You believe that? Yeah. And the only hope for salvation is Jesus. Yeah. And I said, you want to be saved? He said, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother. Hallelujah.
And you know, he bowed his head. And he asked God to save him.
Amen.
He accepted Jesus.
Amen.
And there was no more question marks in his eyeballs. There was no more wonder. It was sure he was saved.
Praise.
It was Jesus.
Amen.
And it didn't take a scholar in a classroom. It didn't take a book by some, you know, theologian. It took Jesus.
Amen.
It took somebody that said, you know what, I got to tell the world, hey, that Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
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 He wasn't much to look at. He had like two teeth in his head.
Amen.
And I think it looked like he had done enough drugs that all of his teeth had rotted out of his head. And he was just a little kid. I mean, he was just a young kid. But boy, he smiled. He smiled with those two teeth showing. He wasn't worried about those two teeth anymore.
Amen.
Saved, man. You know what? One day you might just run into Caleb in heaven, amen, and tell him, hey, I heard about you. I'm glad you're saved.
Amen.
There was another man. I got to preach on Thursday night. I wasn't going to do this. Y'all bear with me. But I got to preach on Thursday night, and I preached about I preached pretty much the same message I preached here last Sunday morning on the great white throne.
Amen.
And the judgment. And there was a little boy, a young man. A lot of them are just kids. Y'all don't understand. These are just kids.
Yeah.
Sitting right here on the front row. And I was preaching away, you know, and I kept, of course, you know me, I can't stand still. And so I'm preaching over here, and I kept looking at, his name was Luis, I found out later. I kept looking at Luis, and Luis just, he was terrified about that great white throne. He was terrified. His eyes were just like, I mean, you could see, it was just all over his face. He was terrified.
Amen.
And of course, I'm just preaching. I see other people who are not even paying attention, but he's terrified. I preached the message. I finished the message. Of course, I turned it over to one of the leaders there that gave the invitation. And the way it works is that there's this room like this, kind of, and then out in the hallway is where where men, you know, if they want to get saved, they stand up and they go out in the hallway, and that's where we get to deal with them about their soul. And it just so happened, right, that God brought Luis to me out in the hallway. Because what it is they all just kind of walk out there and they go to different workers. There's 9 volunteers, and so they just all go to different workers. It just so happened that God brought Luis straight to me.
Amen.
And he's terrified. I said, Luis, why'd you come out here tonight? Why'd you come out here to talk to me? He said, you know what he said? He said, I need Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
He said, I need Jesus. I mean, he didn't even know. He just knew, I need Jesus. And he's still terrified. I mean, he's like, you got to help me, man. I need Jesus.
Amen.
And I went through the course. They didn't take a whole lot of scripture. He was ready. And he bowed his head and he called upon the name of the Lord. And you should have seen him. He was like, no more fear, no more horror and terror in his eyes. It was like, yes, yes, I've got Jesus. Yes, I'm saved.
Praise the Lord.
I tell you what, man, it was exciting for me and him. We kind of had a little fit together. And I said, Luis, hey, listen, man, I don't know if I'll ever see you again. But understand something. One day, we're going to be in heaven forever.
That's right.
Together.
Yes.
But it just so happened, God was doing something between me and Luis. I don't know what it was. The very next day, of course, we go back in Friday morning, and then we spend all day in there preaching Jesus. And I saw Luis again. And there's all kinds of places. I didn't know where he was living or sleeping or bunking. But I saw him, and I was just kind of walking by. And he came up from behind, like, the bunk room, and he said, hey! And he's still smiling.
Amen.
I mean, he's excited. If you saw him when I was preaching, you would have thought, this kid is dying. He's terrified. But now he's waving. He's smiling. And he's big. I mean, I'm thinking, oh, God, thank you. I went over there and said, Luis, praise God. Good to see you again, man. I couldn't stay. You know, I can't stay there. And I'm not going to stay there. Amen. That's not my home. But that's not his home anymore either. Amen. That's not his home anymore either. He's got a new name. He's new. Name written down in glory, amen, and it's his. It's his. But I'm just telling you, there's diseased hearts, there's broken lives, there's broken dreams. That's not what those men dreamed about when they woke up one day. You know, I think I'll just go spend a few years in prison.
Yeah.
No, but see, nobody told them. They didn't understand. Hey, Jesus is the answer. Not the drugs, not the alcohol, not the fornication, not the crime, not the religion. It's Jesus.
Amen.
And boy, their lives were changed, and I got to see that. I got to be a part of that. And those faces, I mean, I'm a different person every time I come out of there. Jesus is the answer for the devil-possessed man. He's the answer for the daughter dying at home. He's the answer for the diseased lady with the issue of blood. I want to finish up with this. Jump over to verse 38. Mark chapter 5, verse 38. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. Now, let me kind of just fill you in what happened. Jairus, remember, Jesus went with Jairus, and he was on the way to the house. And the lady with the issue of blood kind of barged in there and took some of Jesus' time. The whole time, Jesus is just, he obviously stops, and she's healed because she touched the hem of his garment. And it was Jesus. It wasn't anything but his power and his virtue from him, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But jump up with me now in verse 35. Let's not go to 38 yet. Look in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, look now, thy daughter's dead. Thy daughter's dead. Yes, Mark chapter 5, verse 35. Thy daughter is dead. So here's Jairus, you know, he's thinking, what? I found Jesus in time before my daughter died. And then this woman with this issue of blood took his time, and now my daughter's dead. I mean, can you imagine what's going on in his mind? If it wasn't for that lady, we could have been there by now and she wouldn't have died. Look what Jesus said in verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, be not afraid, only believe.
Amen.
That needs to be the rest of your life. That needs to be the theme verse of our lives. Amen. See, you're going to hear things And people are going to say things that if it weren't for Jesus, listen now, you would give up. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, see, that man's daughter was not just sick anymore. She's dead. But Jesus was standing right there.
Amen.
Thank you. See, he, listen now, don't forget, he stayed with Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. He stayed with Jesus. And so since he was with Jesus, when he heard that awful news, Jesus was right there.
Amen.
Speaking to him and said, don't be afraid, believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now at that point, listen to me, at that point Jairus had a decision to make. He had a decision to make. I'm going to trust the word of that servant who said my daughter's dead, or I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust the fact that my daughter's gone, I can't do anything about it, or I'm going to trust Jesus who is going to have to do something totally miraculous here, or else this is never going to... You see, there was a crossroads in his life right there. A crossroads. He had to go down one road or the other. I'm going to go with Jesus and trust him, or I'm going to go away from Jesus and say it's over, it's too late.
Yeah.
Jairus did not do the wrong thing. He did the right thing.
Amen.
Amen. He listened to Jesus. And the Bible says, Jesus, he suffered no man to follow him. Now, to say Peter, James, and John. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, seeth the tumult. What does that mean? There was a big mob in there now. They're wailing. It says here, they wept and wailed greatly. Now stop there. Wait for a minute. Here's Jesus and the father of the daughter and a couple of disciples. They're coming into the house and they've already started the funeral. They've already started the wailing and the mourning. They've already started... the funeral. Jairus is thinking, Jesus, I mean, we don't see this, but you've got to think about this man and all he's been through. And first of all, he goes to Jesus, and then this woman interrupts him. Then this servant says, your daughter's dead. But Jesus says, believe me. But then he gets home, and they're already having the funeral. And he's thinking, oh, what is going to happen now? I want you to see something. Jesus is the answer, folks. Look what it says.
Amen.
In verse 39. When he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.
Amen.
Now that's the word of my Savior. That's the word of Christ. Are you listening? That's God speaking.
Amen.
Verse 40. They laughed him to scorn. Whoa. The very word of God, spoken by the very Son of God, God the Son in the flesh. And they're laughing to scorn. Not only do they doubt his word, they're laughing at him.
Yeah.
They're laughing at him. It doesn't say they laughed at his word. They laughed him to scorn. Jesus is the answer for the devil-possessed man. Jesus is the answer for the dying daughter at home. Jesus is the answer for the disease lady with no hope. And listen to me as I close this morning. Jesus is the answer to the doubters and the scorners.
Amen.
You see, Jairus had already seen Jesus do something miraculous with that lady. Jesus had already, this has all happened in one day, y'all, by the way. Jesus had already healed that demoniac of Gadara. He'd already done great things. He'd already taken care of that woman diseased with blood. And now he's facing these people who are just laughing in his face. You gotta understand something. Jesus is still the answer.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, who were these people? These were not strangers. These were people that knew his family.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, strangers don't come to your house when someone dies and weep and mourn over. No. These were people that knew him. People that had a relationship with him. Dear beloved, relatives.
Amen.
Friends of the family. They didn't have strangers come in and do. This was in his home, in his living room. These were people that he knew, that knew him, that were probably related to him. And yet they are laughing in Jesus' face.
Yeah.
Now are you listening to me?
Amen.
People that knew him, people that knew that girl, mm-hmm. and the mother, and the family. And they're weeping and wailing about something. Obviously, that's what human response is to death. It's mourning, it's grief. But yet Jesus shows up. I mean, Jesus, God Almighty, the great Creator, the Holy One of Israel, shows up, walks into the room, amen.
Amen.
And they're laughing at him. You know what, folks? Listen to me. Jesus is still the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is still the answer. The questions have changed a little bit. The scenarios have changed a little bit. The situations have changed a little bit. But Jesus is always the same.
Amen.
Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. Always, Jesus is always the same. Whether it be in the Texas Department of Corrections State Prison, or whether it be right out here on the streets of Denton, amen. Whether it be in your heart, whether it be in your home, whether it be in your family, whether it be friends, whether it be strangers, Jesus is still the answer.
Amen.
Amen.
Let them laugh. Let them scorn. Let them scoff. Let them mock. I tell you what, I want to show you what Jesus did. What you need to do. I said what you need to do.
Amen.
The Bible says here, they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, verse 30, 9, verse 40, he put them all out.
Amen.
What do you mean, preacher? I mean, he got rid of them. He said, you don't need to be in this house anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody say amen. Somebody act like you understand what I just said.
Amen.
If you keep hanging out with those people that are doubting and scoffing and scorning your Savior, that's where you're going to end up.
Yes, sir.
Jesus didn't say, oh, you're right. Maybe I spoke too soon. Did Jesus change his word because they were laughing at him? Did Jesus change what he said because they were laughing at him?
No.
Do you think they're going to change? God's not going to change his word.
Amen.
Let them laugh. Let them scoff. But listen to me. But don't let them hang out in your house.
Amen.
Amen.
So, preacher, well, they're part of my family. Okay, I understand that. But you got to realize, hey, I've got to be very careful that they're scoffing and scorning and mocking my Savior.
Amen.
Lord.
So what do I do, preacher?
Lord.
Anything you can to keep your distance. Can I put it that way?
Amen.
And at least, at the very least, be very aware of the dangers involved here.
That's right.
Because you and I know Jesus is the answer, but they don't.
Amen.
Not only do they not know, but they're mocking and scoffing at him.
Right.
Can I say something to you? You can't let them in your house. So, preacher, they live in my house. Okay, I understand. But how about the people that you let in there? How about the people that you let in there through that television?
Yeah.
Amen, preacher. That's good, preacher. How about that Hollywood crowd that you keep letting them sit in your living room with you? They are mocking purity. They are living in fornication and alcoholism and drugs and sin. And they are mocking your Savior, but you're sitting in the living room with them.
Oh, your God.
Ooh, preacher, you're preaching now. I know.
Amen.
Jesus put them out. Why don't you try that?
Amen.
Jesus put them out.
Amen.
And listen to me. Nothing happened until they got out. Nothing happened until they got out.
Amen.
That's right.
And then when they got out, Jesus was left. And precious, power, and miracle-working Savior took the damsel by the hand and said, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
See, you have to make a decision, folks. I mean, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to choose between Jesus and those who scoff and scorn at him. I said you're going to have to choose, or you're never going to see things happen in your life. You're never going to see the real pure power of God until you say, Jesus, I choose you.
Amen.
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 See, those poor young men in prison, they chose the wrong person. Now, they're saved now, but you know, they still got to live out their sentence. They still got to live in that hellhole for the next who knows how many years. I talked to one man. He said, pray for my family. I said, what do you mean? I have a wife and a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I just got 18 years. He said he was saved. You see, folks, just because you're saved doesn't mean, hey, I don't need Jesus anymore.
Right.
Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
For salvation and for every other situation that ever comes along.
Yep.
Devil possessed, that's where you were before you got saved. You got saved. Jesus cast out those unclean spirits, and now you're clothed in your right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet. Thank God you're here this morning. But listen, now you got family problems. Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
You've got diseases that are going to come and go, and you got people. You always going to be looking for. You're always going to have a choice. I'm going to go look for where the world looks for their help. Or I'm going to look for Jesus.
Amen.
And then you're going to have doubters, scoffers, and scorners laughing at Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's what most people do. Well, Jesus, will you just wait out here for a little while? I'm just going to spend some time with my family. Yeah, because after all, it's my family. What? Hello, I know you're going to get quiet. Well, Jesus, you just stay out here for a little while. I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to keep the peace. I said, preacher, why you got to be? I'm not. It's right there in the Bible. Jesus put them out so that God could do something in that home.
Amen.
Jesus is the answer.
Good.
He's the answer. Turn it off, folks. Turn it out. Get rid of it. Put it aside. Don't sacrifice Jesus.
Amen.
For the scoffers and the scorners in this world.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. That's what those men in that prison did.
Amen.
That man who said, I'm at 18 years. He said, oh, I was saved when I was 14, you know, something else. Now that little wife and those two little kids by themselves. Why? Because he didn't put Jesus, I mean, he put Jesus out instead of putting them out. Right. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I've said enough this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for the truth of the Bible. Lord, thank you for loving us enough, God. Lord, we have no doubt in our minds that you are the answer. You can, and you care. Lord God, help us to trust you, to seek your face, to walk with you, to stay by your side, to keep close, Lord, not to let anybody or anything come between us. Bless your people this morning, Lord. I know their burdens, I know their heartaches, and some I do, some I don't, Lord God, but you know what they are. Help them this morning to realize Jesus is the answer. Lord, there's some people here who need to put some things out, God. Put some things out of their homes and their lives so they can see you're working. They can see your hand of power doing the miracles. Lord, help us, Lord God, to realize that Jesus is the answer. In Christ's name we pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand together. The piano's going to play softly this morning. Maybe there's something at home that you've been praying about, something that needs to happen that only Jesus can do. Listen, God speak to your heart this morning. Maybe you need to put some things out. Put some things out. Get rid of some things at home. You can't get rid of people, I know, but you can get rid of people that don't belong there, amen. You can get rid of things that don't belong there, that brought in by people. Come on, this morning, you need Jesus, folks. Are you seeking Him greatly? Are you beseeching and looking for Jesus with all your heart? Do you really know He's the only answer? He is the answer to every problem you'll ever have. Every question, every problem, He's the answer. As she plays this morning, as God spoke to your heart, why don't you do business with God this morning?